There, that helps. I invite all of us to read this together in unison. The Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. There once was a master woodcarver who lived in the village of Reckingen in the canton of Valais. Many of the churches in the region were beautified by his special handiwork, which was the carving of sacred figures of the saints and church pews decorated with this beautiful wood. One evening, when the church bell of Reckingen rang for the hour of prayer, the woodcarver heard strange and beautiful singing. He went to his window to listen and noticed it seemed to be coming from the forest of Hoback, which covered the steep hills that rose above the village. The singing stopped as soon as the bell stopped ringing. My imagination is running away with me, the woodcarver muttered to himself as he put away his tools and he hurried to church. But the next night, he heard the singing again. And the night after that, he heard it once more. In fact, the strange music began every time the church bell rang for evening prayers and ended when the bell stopped ringing every night and for the next several nights. The woodcarver was understandably relieved to discover that many other villagers also heard the bell and the singing. So one evening during prayer time, he climbed the hill to the forest of Hoback, determined to find the source of this mysterious music. He wandered about the huge, magnificent trees for a long time. At last, the singing led him to a giant fir, which was hundreds of years old. To his astonishment, the sound seemed to come out of the tree's trunk. When it was again quiet, he ran to the village to report his discovery. After that, each evening, several of his neighbors climbed the hill to see this miraculous tree and stood in reverent amazement beside it. The woodcarver then visited the tree often and ran his hands across the bark. The giant fir was constantly in his thoughts, even appearing in his dreams. He became obsessed with this idea of making a wood carving out of it, to be the most magnificent work that he had ever created. The church finally agreed to cut down this tree and let him work on it. But the woodcutters harbored a secret misgiving as they felled the magnificent fir, and their hearts grew heavy as they dragged the tree down to the valley with horses. The master carver cut himself a huge block from the heart of the tree, and he told the parish he was going to make a statue of the Virgin Mary to set the work. So he set to work that very night. He toiled day in and day out to slowly watch the image of Mary emerge from the wood. The woodcarver was truly talented, and his work was a masterpiece. All said that no artist ever made Mary look so beautiful and so alive. So when the statue was finished, it was presented to the church. The priest took the statue and put it on the altar as the people watched in silent awe. Then suddenly, the wooden figure of Mary opened its mouth, and once more, the familiar, sweet tones of the miraculous music were heard. But that was the last time that the fir tree sang. In the Genesis command to care for creation, we humans have often misinterpreted our role to subdue it, to destroy it, or to even improve upon God's creation. Just as the woodcarver meant no harm, we too have great potential to harm creation in our attempt to mold it into something of our own liking. So often, we Christians view God's salvific action through purely human terms. Instead of the earth revolving around the sun, we often think that human beings are the center of the world. We then view Christ's actions, Christ's sacrifice, as if humanity was the only thing in need of saving. My friend Jackie, who is a minister and who also is Dakota, says that Jesus didn't need to come to save the animals because they already know their creator. And yet, I tend to think that God the Creator, Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit came to save all of creation. This world that in creation stories of Genesis, God calls good. Very good. The creation account that was read today speaks of the origins of humans, a handful of earth and the breath of the Spirit. The result of God making mud pies from pure delight resulted in the creation of something new. Richard Rohr says this, "The earth indeed is the very body of God, and it is from this body that we are born, we live, we suffer, and we are resurrected to eternal life. Either all is God's great project, or we may rightly wonder if anything is God's great project. One wonders if we humans will be the last to accept this." What Rohr calls God's great project is indeed great, and most definitely in need of tending and pruning, caring and healing, but certainly not in need of domination. To view this earth and all of its inhabitants as somehow separate from God's good creation, is to think small. After all, do we not profess that God is in whom we live and move and have our being? Thinking back to the parable of the woodcutter and the singing tree, we see how tempting it is to use human ingenuity to improve upon God's creation. Certainly, science, art, engineering, these are all God-given gifts. And through these pursuits, we humans have the opportunity to be co-creators with God. So often, though, in the course of history, we humans have destroyed and polluted and misused the gifts of this earth. It is not science or art or technology or engineering that destroy, but it is how we use these gifts of creation, how we treat the earth, that matters. For if we view the white pine as a sibling, as a sister, then would we not treat her as such? If we consider a beaver a fellow builder, as one who takes down trees and builds shelter and lives within its walls, then how might we care for the pond, the lake, the river in which this tree takes root? Does this not change the way that we view this world and all that is in it? At Amazing Grace, our mission is, say it with me, joining God at work in the world. Joining God at work in the world. This church sits upon land, you can see right out here, that is rich in natural resources. Trees and wildflowers, sun and shade, birds and wild turkey. I think the confirmation class counted 13 wild turkeys one day. And deer. I've even noticed an abundance of butterflies this year as we have kept the milkweed out in the flower gardens instead of removing them. We are surrounded by this world in which God takes delight. The world that is cared for and nurtured and loved, not just for the sake of the humans who inhabit this earth, but for the sake of the world. How then will we, as caretakers of this land, these trees, these forests that surround us, how will we care for it? Well, today marks, as I said, 4 weeks of a Spirit series, concentrating on Scripture where the Holy Spirit is breathing new life into creation, suffering along with creation, and renewing creation. As co-creators with God, we are to be protectors, curators of this precious creation that is forest and land, earth, water, and air. And yet, we have so much for which to repent. But the good news is that once we know better, we can do better. For example, this church, along with the leadership of Norm Getzky, who is not here today, but I was hoping he would be. Norm is our building supervisor. He has taken steps, along with Larry Kinney there, to replace the light bulbs in this place to LED, saving us a lot of energy. And this is done not just for cost savings, but also because we understand that we are stewards of this earth. Norm always says to me, "Shine your little light for Jesus, but turn off Xcel Energy's light." That's why we have LED bulbs. That's why the road sign out front now runs exclusively on solar energy. Every little bit matters when it comes to caring for creation. Now, we read Psalm 139 a little earlier. This focuses on this inescapable God who knows us prior to our birth. And it's easy to read this psalm with a focus on the human form because, as we were told by the psalmist, we come from the depths of our mother's wombs. But what about the rest of creation? Is not the rest of creation also born from the womb of God? As Christians, we are told that we are all part of this body of Christ. But in our short-sightedness, we often fail to see that this body of Christ also includes relatives like trees of the field, soil in which the tree takes root, the forest floor covered in fir needles and leaves from deciduous trees. The body of Christ is far more expansive than this human family that we have much to learn. We have much to learn from the diversity of God's creation. Remember in Christ's teaching in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, he calms the disciples' fears by helping them to see their place in creation. It says, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Consider the lilies." This week I also ask you, consider the balsam fir and the black spruce, the juniper and the white pine, the northern white cedar and the Norway pine. Look out your window and consider the walnut, the oak and the maple, the willow, the birch, and the poplar. Consider God's beautiful creation is all around us, swaying in the breeze, protecting the earth and its inhabitants from erosion, from sun, providing shade, providing oxygen, providing grounding to the one who created this beautiful land. Consider this creation and how we may be stewards of it all as God has intended. Thanks be to God. Amen.